Welcome to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Penalty Box Radio. Folks, just want to say a little something here at the top of the show. The playoffs are upon us. There's a lot of eyes and a lot of attention on the Nashville Predators and everything surrounding them. We've got some great opportunities for you to get on board with Penalty Box Radio for advertising, not just on this radio show, but on our website and across all of our social media channels. We'd be happy to talk to you all about that if you want to get in contact with us in whatever you'd like, whichever way, Twitter, Facebook, the Instagram, it doesn't matter. You can send an email as well to penaltyboxradio@gmail.com. I'm your host, Sean Smith. Joining me tonight is Ann Kimmel, also of Penalty Box Radio. And the Preds are two games deep into the playoffs.
They are.
Currently sitting 1-1 after losing game one in what proved to be a disastrous 12 seconds on Sunday night. The team came back and put on a what I'll call a defensive clinic. Let's just say that in Vancouver. Of course, we're going to talk about the playoffs, and don't worry, there'll be plenty of time later. But we've got to get to our puck drop topic because, as you'll see, we've expertly set this up to work right into what we want to talk about. So here's the puck drop. And how have you been coping with the late night games?
Oh, not well.
Tell me about it.
Not well. I have scheduled naps. Like, this is just what's real about me and my lifetime right now.
I like it.
So a while ago, I did a piece with the Predators on, like, hey, tell me your game day routine. And Okay. Across the board, the players say, hey, got to have a nap, at least have to lay down. And in my mind, I'm having these conversations, and I'm like, yeah. Me too. Yeah. Different way we walk through those games,
sure.
Me and the Predators.
Right.
But, oh, naps have been huge. I can't have a 9 o'clock puck drop.
Oh, my.
And be functional and, you know, useful and analytical after that game without a nap. So, nap.
There was a time, and I'd like to say it wasn't too long ago, but it's starting to feel like it was quite a while ago, where the night hadn't even started at 9.
Oh, I remember not even getting ready yet at 9.
Yeah. Nine was like, it's not like we're fine. We don't need nothing. Don't have to be ready yet.
No, you didn't start getting ready on Thursday nights until after ER, which came on at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Wow. Okay.
It was a good chapter of my life. Those were good times. I'm not that girl anymore.
I'm not that girl anymore either. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. 9 o'clock. Like, what is that? You put me in a dark room after 5. It's lights out.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't going to make it.
Yeah.
It's just how it's going to be. All right. Well, it's interesting that we both, I mean, and I've been in the same boat. I don't get scheduled naps.
That's a shame because it's good for you.
I understand that. I'm not at that stage. I've got kids involved in lots of activities. Yeah. Like last night was a whole, like I had to choose between which child I wanted to be in person to support.
Oof.
Yeah. I mean, and it was awful. I want to be in both places, but I chose one.
Mm-hmm.
My wife went with the other.
Yeah.
Met back up at home. Everybody fell asleep before the game started except for me.
Except you.
I guess that's your nap. You can miss the game and sleep, or you can stay up and watch it. But, look, let's talk about it. We already talked about game one briefly. It was a 4-2 loss to the Vancouver Canucks. But let's get a little deeper on this game, man. I don't want to just – we're going to tell you exactly what happened. I mean, you've at this stage in the game, it's been – a whole week since that game, it seems like. The playoffs can move so slow. It's all this buildup for one game, and then you got to wait. People have talked about it, but here's the thing. You had goals from Jason Zucker. It rhymes with Hooker. And Ryan O'Reilly. This is an example of the impact that these late-night games can have. And I don't know if those of you out there watching in streaming land or listening on the radio, if you've ever planned a radio show before, but you got to have topics. You got to have an outline. You can get as detailed as you want. My outline to talk about Zucker says, Zucker, nice.
And you are not wrong.
That's all I had.
You are not wrong. Yeah, you brought in Jason Zucker, rhymes with Hooker.
Yeah, that's important.
You brought him in to be nice in the playoffs, and he's doing that.
I'll assume that's what it was, a nice goal.
It was.
And I'll tell you, you know, when you see a goal like that, you're like, oh, wow, like this gets the crowd shuts them down if you're in Vancouver. If that goal happens here, people are losing
Goes
their minds.
Nuts.
Now, I wonder what I would like to know. When you're playing at home, we always talk about this with the players. Like, oh, what's it, you know, being in front of everybody, your hometown crowd, you know, Bridgestone Arena, what's that like? And they talk about how awesome it is. But how awesome is it when you are in Vancouver?
Come on.
Surrounded by, I assume, around 17,000 Canadian, or not Canadians fans, but Canucks fans, and they just shut down.
Yeah.
Is that an equally exciting feeling?
It's got to feel nice.
Because you go from not being able to hear anything, you can't hear your own teammates on the ice, to now you can just, you can hear all the skates on the ice and the puck, and it's fun. I mean, that's got to be a good feeling.
It's got to feel great. And I'll tell you, to quiet that crowd was something, because you got to give it to that Vancouver crowd.
They're great.
They were fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, both games.
I think Nashville's going to be better. But I thought Vancouver, that crowd was incredible. And that's just what we could take in through the television. So, yeah, great crowd. But I agree with you. I think being able to kind of zzz on that little record scratch there.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's a good feeling. But Zucker had a nice goal. I loved his celebration. I like players. They don't necessarily have to have a cool celebration. You know, I watch a lot of 9-year-old hockey. They get really creative with how they want, you know, when they have their moment, how they want to get everybody involved. It's like, I've been practicing this. My son had a deal with his barber that when he scored a goal in a game, if he did the
come on now,
like, whatever, what's this called?
Making it rain.
Is that what the kids call it?
I believe so.
Okay, thank you. If you made it rain after a goal, they'd give him a free haircut. And that's always, well, he moved before we could score a goal.
That's a shame.
But, you know, I like when players get excited. You know, Trennan, even though he's no longer with us, and that sounds worse than it is, he was excited when he jumped into the glass.
Yes, it was
Zucker
great.
Looks excited when he scores that goal.
Yep.
You like to see that. It gets people fired up. O'Reilly had a great, just a clutch power play goal, right?
Yep.
And that's what you want to see. It's in the front of the net. What happens in the front of the net, Ann?
All the good stuff.
All the good stuff happens. And you go to the front of the net. Okay. Here's what I want to say, and that's we're gonna see the Canucks a lot.
Yeah.
We'll see them at least three more times.
At least, yeah.
At least three more times. Who is this Dakota Joshua guy? Like, where did he come from? Because I don't watch Vancouver. I'm not going to lie to you. Their games are on too late most of the time.
Amen.
But I watch them every time they play the Predators, and I don't remember this guy's name popping up. I know he didn't play a full season. He played 63 games. I'm not exactly sure why. And I just kind of figured, like, maybe this guy's just popped up in the playoffs and is showing out. Guy's got a solid season for 63 games and to be relatively young. 18 goals, 14 assists, 32 points. And he's 27 years old. He's from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
6'3", 205 pounds. That's a lot of dude.
That's a lot of Dakota Joshua.
And there's been a lot of Dakota Joshua all over the ice for both games. I mean, he's been a really big, big impact player for the Canucks.
Yeah, he's an interesting player. He's definitely one of the reasons I think that people nationally looking at these two teams, Dakota Joshua is one of those players that I think factors into people saying, hey, Vancouver may have more depth. It's a Dakota Joshua factor. I think you've got a couple of players like that. But this guy, I'm surprised he's from Michigan because he has two first names, and that feels like a Southern thing.
Hmm. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, it's a Southern thing, I think, being a Yankee. I think it's a Southern thing. But, yeah, he is, I think, one of those guys.
Would it be weird, and this off topic, but would it be weird for are there Canadians named Dakota? Because that's a state in America.
It's two states in America.
That's very true. That's true.
Just throwing it out there.
Okay, well, you're right. You caught me on that one.
That's
but is
good.
Like, are there, like, I don't know, like, why do people in America name someone Dakota? So they have
I think it's a cool name.
It is a cool name.
It's a cool name.
But I want, like, you know, or you're not going to name, like, an American kid Alberta, right? Like,
wait. I imagine there are probably some.
Albertas?
Oh, yeah.
Albertas?
I would think.
What about?
I'm saying they're probably also of the demographic that doesn't stay up for 9 o'clock puck drops if they're named Alberta. But I bet there's a few.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm very curious.
Yeah, these are the things.
Anybody named like Winnipeg or like Manitoba or?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe not.
It sounds right. I don't know. Sorry, but yeah, going back to Dakota Joshua. Like, so you're saying, this is somebody that, you know, this is a player that shows they have a lot of depth. And where was he the whole season? You know anything about him? Like, I'm just going to claim, I'm going to own my ignorance here.
No, I, you know, definitely remember, and again, haven't seen as many Canucks games as Canucks fans have. But yeah, I do remember hearing his name, and he's just been one of those players who has come in and made impacts here and there where they've really needed him this season. And kind of like, to me, it's sort of like that Tanner Jeannot season.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, kind of that Tanner Jeannot phenomenon in a different way.
I get it. And I guess I went to the Elite Prospects. I went to Cap Friendly, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, you know, he really hasn't had a celebrated, you know, route to the NHL. So, I mean, you know what? Good for him.
Good on him.
Good on him. I'm happy about it. I like it. Let's just say this, too. It wasn't a bad game. It was a bad 12 seconds.
It was a bad 12 seconds.
I don't want to talk it to death. Again, I feel like there have been plenty of people on the radio between Monday morning and Wednesday night that have said everything that needs to be said about those 12 seconds. I don't want to get into it. I don't. I mean, maybe that sounds bad. I don't know. But obviously there is a lot of, we're going to have to see what happens in game two after that game, after those 12 seconds. So we've had game two, so let's not get into it too much. And we'll talk about, we're going to talk about game two, obviously, when we come back. But before we go, Penalty Box Radio is locally owned and operated media group that produces engaging content focused around the Nashville Predators and hockey around Middle Tennessee. We have a website with in-depth coverage of the Nashville Predators, Milwaukee Admirals, and the Prospects and the Predators organization. We produce content on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram that reaches hundreds of thousands of people per month. The Predators playoff run is sure to bring even more attention than the regular season. We have incredible opportunities for you to get on board with us as a sponsor so we can bring those views to your business. Please contact us on social media or email us at penaltyboxradio@gmail.com for more details. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio. This segment of Penalty Box Radio is brought to you by Truvo Sports Laundry. Truvo Sports Laundry is Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service that uses ozone technology to clean the smelliest, dirtiest sports gear, such as hockey and football pads. The O3 process kills 98% of bacteria and 100% of viruses. If you've got a pile of nasty, filthy, stinky sports gear, either because you play rec leagues and can't be bothered to clean it, or you have teenagers, then go to TruvoSports.com and sign up for a cleaning today. They'll come to your house and everything. Truvo Sports Laundry, Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service. And
yes,
it's time to talk about game two. Game one was like a month and a half ago.
At least.
I don't even remember what was going on back then. It's been so long. Plus, I was really tired in the middle of it. But game two was last night.
Mm-hmm.
It was like 15 minutes ago.
It really was.
And what a game. And here's the thing. I said we weren't going to talk about the evil 12 seconds from game one, because a lot of the reaction to that was, well, this is something that's going to have to be corrected in game two, and we'll see what game two looks like. So let's talk about game two. Was it corrected?
It was, you know what, game two felt a little bit like generational parenting.
Okay, I want you to explain that to me.
So you know, as a parent myself, you work very hard not to make the same parenting mistakes your parents did.
Okay.
You just make new ones.
Sure, yeah.
And I kind of feel like there was some of that in game one and game two.
Create new trauma for your child.
Absolutely. Yes. Keep it fresh.
Yeah. Keep them guessing.
Keep it fresh.
Keep them guessing.
No, but I do think that, you know, some of the things were corrected from game one. I think, you know, we're talking about defensive breakdowns that you saw in game one that were super costly, 12 seconds.
Sure.
I think the Predators did a good job. You can't say that the Predators had a ton of defensive breakdowns, especially in that third period.
No.
You know, I had several breakdowns in the third period, but the Nashville Predators defense did not. So I think that there were some things that were corrected.
Okay.
I think there were a couple of other things that Andrew Brunette and the team are going to want to clean up in game three.
I would say there was, I would use the, you said it's like generational parenting. I would say there was overcorrection in the sense that there were some defensive issues, some defensive breakdowns in game one. We really need to focus on defense in game two.
Yes.
And boy, did they ever focus on defense in game two.
A whole lot.
I will tell you, that third period, and I'm not going to say that I've seen the most hockey. That would be a lie. And I'm not a liar. You can call me a lot of things, but I'm going to be honest with you. But I've watched a lot of Predators hockey. And when you talk about just being under siege for just 20 straight minutes of just somebody kicking your butt and just, you know, I'm going to take a breath here because I'm so tired from kicking your butt, but I'm going to kick your butt more.
Yes.
I'm going to keep shooting these pucks over and over and over and over again. Just, I mean, I couldn't believe, and this is what's funny, is that as many shots as it felt like they took, there weren't that many on goal.
Crazy. You look at the statistics from that third period, and if anybody didn't stay up to the third period, good on you, first of all. But second of all, let us paint the picture with statistics. You talk about Corsi 4 is a statistic we talk about a lot, and it's a reflection of puck possession.
Oh.
So how much time does each team possess the puck? It's sort of a way to gauge that. In the third period, Vancouver had the puck 89% of the time.
That's insane.
And it would have probably been higher had the Predators gotten two very late power plays. So fortunately, two late power plays for the Nashville Predators bumped them up into double digits when it comes to Corsi 4. And so when we tell you that the Nashville Predators were under siege, that UC Saros was tested, it was unrelenting.
Yeah. I would say that I was shocked when the game was over and I saw that the overall shot on goal count had not just climbed. But, you know, I think a lot of it, and we're talking about defense, a lot of it was blocked shots.
Let's go.
And that's good, right? I mean, look, defenders, I've got a 9-year-old one at home, right? Mm-hmm. Defenders, they don't seek glory the same ways that forwards do. Like, they'll score a goal if they can, but they contribute. Their big contributions is stopping things from happening, right?
Right.
And, yeah, there's not a lot of glory in that. But a blocked shot, I mean, you see a guy take a puck, just sacrificing the body, doesn't matter where it is, and they just keep going. That'll get your team fired up.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about moments in the game like shutting a loud arena down with a great goal at a timely goal, whatever you want to call it. But getting your own team fired up, you know, that makes them want to play harder. It says, okay, this guy's laying it all out there. He's willing to take this shot in the back of the calf or in the neck, in the back of the head, which I've seen that in the neck. They're just getting their body in front of the puck and stopping it from. Saros doesn't have to worry about this one because I'm going to take it for him. And when you think that he was under siege, it wasn't just Saros. It wasn't that they were leaving him wide open and just saying, "Hey, have at it, Canucks." They were saying, "Like you can shoot, but you're going to have to shoot through us."
Yeah. And you saw so many of those shots, those moments you talked about. Jason Zucker rhymes with hooker. He took one in the soft part of the back of the leg, and you could just tell. I mean, that just hurts. Predators had, depending on where you look statistically speaking, they had 30 to 33 blocked shots. Almost half of those came in the third period.
Half
of those, you know, and only 6 shots got on goal.
Yeah.
Because they were blocking that many shots. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Nashville for the way they played in front of UC Saros. I think Rick Tocchet in the post game heard from him, and he, you know, obviously credited, you know, the Predators for withstanding that. But also, I think he felt like the Vancouver Canucks got a little hesitant to shoot because they had some high danger chances. They had 10 high danger chances in the third period and didn't capitalize. And I think maybe that perhaps got in their head where then all of a sudden you're looking for the even better chance.
Right.
And you combine those two things and you end up with a third period where Nashville was under siege and Vancouver came away with, as UC Saros likes to say, no goals.
And how many high danger chances did you say they had?
They had 10 in the third period.
Now, high danger chances are different than expected goals, or are they?
They are.
Similar?
It's based on geography on the ice and likelihood that's going to go in.
Okay, that makes it doesn't really make sense. I'm lying, but I get it.
I can draw a picture.
Well,
it's not going to be great.
No, okay, it's maybe later. Show me during a commercial. We'll
hash it out.
Get out the pad and pen and figure things out. All right, let's talk about this, though. Forsberg had a pretty cool goal.
Oh, come on. What was the one thing people were kind of grumbling about besides the 12 seconds after game one? What were they grumbling about?
Forsberg.
Forsberg,
they said, didn't look like Forsberg.
Let me tell you something. When Philip Forsberg corralled that puck in the second period, and you saw, oh, that puck is settled on his stick, and he turns and he begins to skate towards that net, you just sit back in your chair, and you put your hands behind your head, and you exhale, because you knew that shot was going to go in. You knew that shot was going to go in. That is Philip Forsberg's moment. And he did it.
And it looked good.
Oh, it was very nice.
I enjoyed that. I smiled.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
good
it made
you.
Me happy. That was a smile last night. I was like, oh, this is fun.
It was. Also,
and I think this is exciting. I know that they discussed it on the air, but Colton Sissons had a goal as well. It was a little bit special because Colton Sissons is from Vancouver.
Love that.
And so he said, look, when I play in Vancouver, get a lot of family, a lot of friends, you know, a lot of people here to support me, and to be able to score a goal in front of all of them, especially in the playoffs. I mean, that's
a big deal.
Haven't had that opportunity before. Hasn't been a lot of playoff action in
Vancouver.
Hasn't
Colton Sissons scored in the playoffs before?
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, and talk to me about the penalties. It seemed like there were a lot of penalties on the Predators.
Okay, what are we? Yes. Okay, what do I like to say? I swear to you, my next tattoo is going to say there are no snacks in the sin bin.
Okay.
It's really not. But Nashville ended up in the penalty box, and it wasn't so much for me the quantity of penalties they had. Vancouver had 4 power play chances, but it was the timing of them that was extremely worrisome. You had back-to-back penalties in the beginning, Sissons with a slash, and immediately after that, you had a too many men on the ice. That's a frustrating penalty.
How did that happen? Did you see that?
Because I didn't. I didn't see how it happened.
I don't know how you do things. I like to stay live.
I do too. I feet. Don't.
I don't
want to.
My kids sometimes like go back. I want to see that again. I'm like, you can go back later. We're staying live.
That's how
we watch
we
sports
roll.
In this house.
Yes.
It's the 1980s in my head.
Be in the moment.
Be in the moment.
Be in the moment.
Figure it out. It was still the end of the penalty kill, right? So they only should have only had 4 guys on the ice.
Yeah, and I don't know if it was Sissons came out
a little early.
I don't know how that worked. But you immediately go back to back. You don't want that. You had penalties at the end of periods. Those make me crazy, and they carry over. Thought it was a little bit of a soft penalty on Ryan McDonagh. And let me tell you something. Yeah. Ryan McDonagh, Colton Sissons, those were 2 guys that were in the box a little bit last night. Those are 2 penalty killers you want on
100%.
The ice. When Ryan McDonagh sits in the penalty box, man.
He wants to be out there. He wants to kill those penalties.
He wants to kill
them. He hates them.
He hates them.
He wants
them.
To see him dead.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about special teams and game 2 and just the Pred series in general when we get back, as well as a couple of other things around the league. Before we go, I want to remind you that Penalty Box Radio is a locally owned and operated media group that produces engaging content focused around the Nashville Predators and hockey around Middle Tennessee. We have a website with in-depth coverage of the Nashville Predators, the Milwaukee Admirals, and the prospects in the Predators organization. We produce content on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram that reaches hundreds of thousands of people per month. The Predators playoff run is sure to bring even more attention than just the regular season, and we have incredible opportunities for you to get on board with us as a sponsor so we can bring those views to your business. Please contact us on social media or email us at penaltyboxradio@gmail.com for more details. Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by the Music City Marauders. The Music City Marauders have announced their spring tryouts dates. Folks, look, it's right around the corner. Spring tryouts will be held from April 29th through May 2nd. I know my son's got his tryouts next Monday and Wednesday. This is the chance your hockey player has been waiting for to try out for a competitive youth hockey team. I can speak from experience. This is an incredible program and a great opportunity to train with great coaches and play against some of the best teams in the country. Head over to www.musiccitymarauders.com to sign up for tryouts today. I believe the last day you can sign up is Monday. I don't want to give you false information, but head over to their website, check it out, and get signed up today. And you ever notice that right before we come back into segments, I'm always kind of peering over here and in Jake's direction, or if it's Connor, I'm looking in Connor's direction. Do you know why I do that?
I really don't.
I feel like they try to impress me with their musical selections to bring us back in.
They impress me.
If you're watching this, I don't know how many people are watching this, but if you're watching this and you see me looking over here, it's because I'm watching to see what delights our producer has in store for me.
So great.
I feel like their number one priority with this music selection is to impress me.
It works for me. I don't know how he feels, but
I think
you're
not wrong.
It.
Yeah.
We've been told that classic rock is what the show wants coming back in, so I do my best back here.
But it's been good.
Killing
it. It's never anything weird. It's always top quality stuff.
Yep.
I'll throw in a curveball next time if I'm here next week.
I think you're supposed to be here next week, right? Didn't we look at the schedule? Anyway, let's Ann.
Yes.
We were talking it's not the producer Jake segment.
It's all right.
Come on. All right. We're talking about the playoffs. Here's the thing. We left the last segment and we were discussing the penalty kill. Mm-hmm. There's a lot, but the penalty kill, they were on the penalty kill a lot, but did they do okay?
They did great. 4-for-4 on the penalty kill against a really good power play team. Vancouver finished the regular season 11th.
Wow.
On the power play.
That's
so
impressive.
You know, their top power play guys, you know, I think Quinn Hughes has 38 power play points in the regular season.
Wow.
You know, JT Miller, 16 power play goals. Like, they're good.
They are good.
They're good. But Nashville's penalty kill has done an excellent job. And it's not just been a UC Saros thing. It's been a limiting shot chances. So shout out to the penalty kill, which I think didn't get a lot of shout outs to begin the season.
Correct me if I'm wrong, and I mean that. Game one, they also killed all the penalties.
They did. Let's go.
That's good. Now, this brings up an interesting question that I posed to you in the middle of the break.
Made me uncomfortable.
Well, let's explain. The Predators also had four opportunities on the power play, correct?
Correct.
Did they convert?
No, they did not.
So you had 4-for-4 on penalty kills, 0-for-4 on power plays. If you had to choose, would you rather be 4? Now, I'm not saying this is, you know, 4-for-4 or 0-for-4. I'm saying, would you rather be 4-for-4? That sounds weird when you say it a lot. Mm. Would you rather be 100% on the power play or 100% on the penalty kill?
Are you talking in this specific series?
Yeah.
I would much rather be 100% on the penalty kill.
Okay.
Especially now, and we're going to dive into this, I think, in this segment with Thatcher Demko out.
Yes.
I feel like Nashville at 5-on-5 with Casey DeSmith in net gives Nashville a little better chance at 5-on-5.
Right.
So for me, I would rather kill off I'd rather kill off Vancouver's power play.
Yeah.
When they have been so good in the regular season with their stars. You don't want JT Miller scoring goals.
No.
5-on-5 or on the power play. Yeah, you just don't. So if you
Some
can,
people might.
Well, they're not here.
They might be listening to the show, and we don't know our audience. We might have a lot of Canucks fans listening.
I
don't know.
I think the Canucks fans, I know there's been a big brouhaha. The ones that I've interacted with have been really great.
I hope they are listening. Yeah,
they've been great. But for me, I would rather Nashville's penalty kill be 100%.
I think that's fair. And I think for the exact reasons you mentioned, I'm not even going to give my opinion because I agree with Ann.
Where has
100%
more people?
I agree with Ann. All right, let's talk about this before we move on. Thatcher Demko.
Yes.
He is the starting goaltender for the Vancouver Canucks, injured for a lot of the last games of the season, came back for a couple. They seemed like he was okay, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Said he was good for game one. And I believe they showed a clip of him wincing in pain after he kind of made a slight adjustment in the net. No contact, no weird play, no awkward fall, no puck to any certain part of the body, but just tweaked something.
Yeah.
And they don't seem very, you know, confident that he's going to be back. They keep saying week to week.
Right.
And unfortunately for them, you know, the playoff series is just a couple weeks. It's not, you know, we don't have a month here. It's you got seven games. They're going to be mostly over by the next time we have the show.
Right. Right. This is a tough loss, I think, for Vancouver. Demko has been outstanding this season. Outstanding. Up until this point with his injury, that's been really difficult for the Canucks. You know, they kind of struggled a little bit. They were kind of back and forth at the end of the season, and that's when Demko was out. It feels like a different series if Thatcher Demko is in net. You know, he's very, very good, mobile guy. The thing that stands out to me, and I mean this respectfully, I truly do, but Thatcher Demko reminds me of the Walrus and the Progressive commercial. I truly don't mean that with any ounce of disrespect.
No, I know what you mean. He stops everything.
He is a massive presence, and he is ridiculously difficult to get something past.
Does he have the long mustache of a walrus, though? That's...
I don't know.
I don't know if he does or not.
Google images.
We'll have to do some research on that. We got a lot of research to do.
We
after
do.
The show.
A lot
we
of follow up. Of this.
All right. Let's previewing the next game. They're going to play the Canucks again.
How about that?
I mean, what else do we need to say? If you've stayed up, you know what we're talking about. If you've watched, if not, then you're in for a treat. And it's going to have Bridgestone's energy behind it. That's exciting. But before we move on, I want to talk about this before we get to the next segment. This is just a little bit of a personal note here. But I learned something recently that really warmed my heart, and I'm going to share that with you guys. I found out that the Nashville Fire Department is going to be hosting a charity game. And the charity game goes to benefit two firefighters who've passed away. And what's interesting about this is one of those firefighters was my next door neighbor. And I don't mean somebody that lived in my neighborhood. I mean someone that lives in the house next door to mine. Someone that I've spent years and years and years talking to, developing a friendship with. His children are roughly the same age as my kids. I have two. They have two. They've grown up together. They're across the fence friends. I can't think of how many times I've come home to see them throwing the ball across the fence or going for walks together, riding their bikes. Sadly, David Bricker passed away a few months ago, and it's been pretty rough. But one of the things that's really been good for the family is that their family's been getting them out to Preds games. And they've really gotten into hockey. And so I love that the Nashville Fire Department is doing this. It's a charity game. There's going to be two games. First game is Fort Campbell Hockey against Nashville Fire Department B. Second game is, I believe it says the Tap House Hockey Club, Tap House 57 Hockey Club against Nashville Fire Department A. It starts at 5 o'clock Saturday, May 11th at Ford Ice Antioch. And it's funny, my neighbor's daughter, David's daughter, likes the fights. And when they went to the Preds game, she was like, "Are they going to fight? I want to see them fight. I want to see them fight." She's a year older than my son.
Oh my goodness!
And it's what got my daughter into hockey. Was just fighting. It's all she wants. Like, "Are they going to fight? Will there be blood?" I'm like, "Yes, come on out." And she was assured that they like to fight in these games. So don't worry. There'll be some fighting. So
it's the gateway to the sport.
It's the gateway to the sport. So if you're not doing anything that day, I would strongly recommend head out. It goes to benefit these two families who've been just, I cannot describe the impact it's had on David's family. It's been really hard, but they're doing really well. They've got the support of the Murfreesboro Fire Department around them, and it's been heartwarming to see how that community's reacted, and so this is a chance to get out and help support them. David's someone he was a captain in the fire department. He'd been there since he was quite young. So before we go into the next segment, of course, where we will have our main event 3-on-3 draft. Pretty excited about this. Homewell Care Services of Middle Tennessee is not your average home care agency. With innovative signature programs, highly personalized and specialized services, and a culture that prioritizes your peace of mind, you can count on us to bring exceptional care and companionship right to your front door. When you want to stay safe, happy, and healthy in your own home, Homewell is there for you. Call 615-622-9360 for a free in-home assessment. Mention the Predators for $500 off. Learn more at homewellcares.com. Again, that number is 615-622-9360. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. This segment is brought to you by Main Event. Main Event just opened their newest location in Murfreesboro. And let me tell you, it's worth the drive. They've got everything you need to have a good time. Bowling, billiards, laser tag, a full menu, full service bar, and a whole lot of games. This brand new facility. That's right, purpose-built facility. It's not in an old Big Lots or Kmart. There were no blue light specials happening in this location. This was built purely for fun. It's got plenty of room for your family, team, or corporate event. Ask about the Penalty Box Radio special when signing up for a year-end sports party or other event for some extra fun on us. Head over to MainEvent.com for more information today. Let me just say this. We've been talking to you a lot about Main Event, and I will tell you, it's very close to my house. It makes it really easy to go over there. I talked last week. We had my son's hockey party there. Just phenomenal, and that was a smaller group, wasn't very big. Today, I helped take 450 high school seniors there for 4 hours today.
Wow!
And I'm going to tell you, those kids had a blast.
I bet.
I tell you, high school seniors at this stage in the year, they just want to be kids again.
Yes.
They're getting ready to go off and be adults. They just want to be kids. Taking them to Main Event. Insane. They had so much fun. They got them all fed in like 30 minutes. Efficient, fast. I mean, it was incredible stuff. They played, they bowled, they laser tagged. It was a blast. And I can't tell you. I'm going to say this. The Penalty Box Radio special. Let me explain this to you. If you book a party there, any kind of party, there's a couple of packages that you can choose, and they can tell you which ones they are. I think we've got a graphic we're going to put out on social media pretty soon after this show. If you book those packages and you say you want the Penalty Box Radio special, they're going to double the amount of time that your party members get to play.
That's amazing.
So if you pay for 30 minutes of play time, you're going to get an hour. If you pay for an hour, you're going to get 2 hours. If you pay for 2 hours, you're going to be exhausted, but you're going to have a fun 4 hours. Can't encourage you to do that enough. I mean, you're not going to have a bad time. And like I said before, it's worth the drive. But, Ann, two things. Okay. One. Mm-hmm. Jake said that he was told to play classic rock. He just played Nirvana, and that hurt my feelings.
That hurts a little bit.
Because
that hurts a little. It's like,
in my head,
ooh.
It's all the rage, and it's what all the kids are listening to. But
I
now
mean,
I
we're,
realize.
We're getting ready to go out at 9 o'clock when Nirvana comes on, though.
Right.
I mean, let's put it into actual chronological perspective.
Yeah, that's about the prime.
Yeah.
Just, ooh.
Good times.
But so, Jake, I'm not mad at you. I'm just saying, like, he didn't mean to hurt my feelings.
But there we are.
It warmed my heart, but then it hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Which, if it's going to hurt, it might as well warm the heart first. Okay. Now we've got a very important thing we got to do here. We've got our Main Event 3-on-3 draft, and I got really creative with the topic today,
mm-hmm.
and I mentioned it to a few people, and I got some looks. I got some looks, Jake. I don't know. It was weird, but I think you're going to enjoy this one. But I will say before we get started, I have been made aware that Ann's husband is texting her right before this and wishing her good luck and telling her to beat me. And I feel like the world's out there against me, and I'm afraid today I'm bringing the thunder.
We'll see.
So.
We'll see.
Now, here's a draft topic, and I'm just going to say before we get started, I've been letting everybody else go first for a couple of weeks now. We had the 3-on-3-on-3 draft last
That's
week.
Right.
We had
That's
the 3-on-3
right.
draft before where I went, I'm going to go first. But this week's topic, cups that aren't Stanley.
Let's go.
Cups that aren't Stanley. And what I want to say about that is normally on this hockey show, you would know automatically that we're talking about Lord Stanley's Cup. Unfortunately, it seems recently there's been a new Stanley Cup brought into the conversation. Ann, would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, sure. So there is a little bit of confusion, but we want to be clear. You don't have
What's
to point.
That?
There are
What's
no props.
By your right hand?
You are ratting me out.
Mm.
Yes, the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
I have one.
It's, wow.
I just only have one. I know a lot of people have them in a lot of colors. I have one.
Okay, that's fair. You're
allowed. I feel like you're throwing some shade.
I'm not.
A little bit of Stanley shade.
I think it's fine.
Okay.
I have a Stanley pint glass.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's whatever. That's I'm not cool. ashamed. I'll that's tell cool. you. But we're not talking about that cup either.
No.
We're talking about cups that aren't Stanley. So Lord Stanley's cup is a no-go. Can't be drafted.
Okay.
Stanley the brand cups, like Anne has here. Stanley Company, if you want to reach out and sponsor, just let us know. We'd be happy to talk about you. We're already going to be talking about the other one. Might as well talk about them both.
Two birds.
One stone.
One cup.
Oh, okay. Anyway, we're going to move on from that. Got a little weird in here. So cups that aren't Stanley, I'm going to go first. And I hope song should be a dead giveaway.
You're going to take this, aren't you?
Oh, I'm taking it. But I'm going to go with the Red Solo Cup. And I don't just mean the fact that Toby Keith wrote a song. It was Toby Keith, right?
That's absolutely Toby Keith.
Toby Keith. I'm not just saying it that it be of his song, but Red Solo Cups. And I my own special memory, when I was in college, apparently, and I didn't know this at the time, but you were allowed to drink on campus. But if you were under 21, you had to have a blue Solo Cup. If you were over 21, you had a red Solo Cup. And I always thought that was interesting that that was the delineation there.
Was there alcohol in the blue cups as well?
Well, that was the thing, is who knows?
Okay, fair.
Unoriginal containers, Anne. Fair. It's a mystery.
It is a mystery. Are you going to sing a little bit of the song?
No.
If that's going to be your pick?
There's a lot of vulgarity in it.
It is the karaoke version.
I don't want to upset Big Joe's children. I know they get really sensitive with the language. So.
Fair.
I'm going with Solo Cups.
Strong pick.
Multi-purpose, multifunctional, biodegradable after, I think, 14 years maybe. But see what Ann's got.
Yeah. All right, that's a strong pick. I also am going to come out of the gate strong. I am going with the cup that brings me the most joy, and really anybody with a heart, and that is the Pup Cup.
What is that? Can you explain that to me?
You don't know what a Pup Cup is?
Why should I know what a Pup Cup is?
You don't know. A Pup Cup, when you go to Starbucks, you order a Pup Cup. You take your dog.
Okay.
Everything is better with a dog. You take your dog through the drive-thru at Starbucks, and they fill a cup with whipped cream. And it is the most joyful thing to watch a dog with a Pup Cup.
It sounds fun.
It is so wonderful.
I can't take my dog in the car. She jumped out the window last time, and we're just not going to do that again.
Oh, that is okay.
Not the brightest dog in the car.
Or out
of the car.
Exactly. Yeah, so I'm going Pup Cup.
Pup Cup. That sounds fun.
Oh, it's amazing. One of the greatest joys of being a human being with a dog is the Pup Cup.
Is the Pup Cup. From
the Pup
so that's at
cup.
Starbucks.
Yes.
You have to pay for it?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No. No.
So you can just lie and just stock up.
Well, I mean, they look in your car to see if you got the dog.
She's old. She's in the back. You can't see her. She blends in. All right, let's move on. Okay. I'm going to go with another one. I'm surprised that this is not what you went with. I bet you didn't even think about this one. I don't know.
I bet it's number two on my list.
Oh,
go
is
ahead.
It? Is it?
Okay. It might be.
Here we go. This is topical. We just learned about it last night.
Mm-hmm.
After the game.
Oh, dear. I wouldn't have picked this. This was not number two for me.
We're going with UC Soros' double cup. As we learned last night after a collision with none other than Dakota Joshua.
Yep. Two first name.
UC Soros was asked if he was okay, and he said it was a good thing he was wearing a double cup. I don't even know what that is. I want to be honest.
I was going to ask you to explain it.
I'm assuming that you're wearing two cups in your groinal area to protect the bits and pieces that are kept down there.
Okay.
I don't know. I've never heard of that before, but I think that's probably one of the greatest responses I've ever heard.
My favorite part of that clip is that he giggled.
Yeah.
UC Soros made a funny, and it was delightful.
That's good. I like it. And hey, you know what? If it keeps UC safe, I'm happy.
Amen. Amen. I was certainly not going to go with that. Let's okay. I'll have things Ann's not interested in talking about.
Nope,
for
that's fine.
But
I've got a son that plays sports right now. I know you've got a son that was playing sports.
I did,
still does,
and I cared about that for a while, but that's off my radar
okay.
now.
Okay.
My
your
second pick, very specific second pick, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Oh.
And I'm not talking King Cup. I'm talking the original, because that, my friends, is the perfect chocolate to peanut butter ratio. My husband loves a King Cup. It's not my fave. So
oh,
Reese's
boy.
Peanut Butter Cup.
Okay.
Come on.
All right. Well, that's good. And I'll admit that you got me on that one. Yeah. That should have been my number two. But because you took that one off the list, I'm going to go with another cup. It's sports related.
Oh.
And I will say that possibly one of the greatest athletes of all time was the owner of many of these cups. But I'm going to go with the Piston Cup. Lightning McQueen raced in the Piston Cup Series, and he was a winner of the Piston Cup several times.
That's amazing.
Again, one of the greatest athletes of our generation, Lightning McQueen, and the Piston Cup.
That's a strong one. Loved that flick. My final cup is sports-related as well, and I'm going with the FIFA World Cup.
Oh.
But I'm going with the video game.
Okay. The FIFA World Cup video game.
Video game.
Okay.
100%.
All right. We're running low on time
okay.
because we've had too much fun. Too much fun today.
Too much fun.
So let's go over it. Ann's choices, number one, Pup Cup. Number two, Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Not the king size.
Not the king size.
That's your standard. And the FIFA World Cup video game. I went with the Red Solo Cup, UC Saros' Double Cup, and the Piston Cup. Jake?
This is a strong one.
Hardest job in the studio.
The Piston Cup, it almost made a late charge for you there, Sean, but I'm going with Andonite. As a recent dog owner in the last year for the first time, the Pup Cup is fantastic.
It's
so.
The greatest joy.
Congratulations
it is.
On the dog ownership. That's
Thank
exciting.
You. Yeah. Thank you. So, Ann, you are our winner tonight.
Oh, that's okay. I guess she paid the bribes. All right. That's it for us tonight. Thanks for listening to Penalty Box Radio Live, which could be presented by your business. Your name could go right here. Also, thanks to Truvo Sports Laundry, the Music City Marauders, Main Event of Murfreesboro, and welcome aboard Homewell Care Services of Middle Tennessee. For tonight, that's all I've got. Thank you, Ann. Thank you, Jake. Thank you, listeners. We'll see you next week.